You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. And a very good Monday morning to you. The first day of May 2017. So good morning to you. Hope you had a good weekend. And life is off and moving here on our 11th month, our 12th month, actually. And we just completed 11, and the month of May will take us into June, and our first year will be in the books. So pretty exciting for us, and thanks for making us part, as always, of your day. Justin Constantine is going to join us here. And so excited about that. And we're going to talk a little bit about entrepreneurship. I have an interesting email that I'm going to kind of tee up for Justin. And I got it over the weekend. I got a whole series of emails over the weekend that were kind of cool, kind of interesting. People that listen say, hey, I've never really emailed you. I've never emailed the program, but I listen. I just want to tell you how much I enjoy the program. And I enjoy your interviews. You're certainly a different kind of interviewer because of your experience in broadcasting and also your operational experience. So, yeah, that's the truth. I've been fortunate in my life. And so I try to reflect that. But interviewing is kind of an interesting little gig, and the interview really takes the answers really take you, to the next place. So I'm always it's kind of a little exploratory thing. And then the thing you can't do, especially on this program, is you can't be afraid to go where they're, you know, the interview is taking you. And so I've learned over the course of the years that most of the time the person being interviewed, you know, is more than willing to go there with you. It's just, you know, I think doing it in a respectful, articulate way, that's what makes the difference. So we'll talk to Justin Constantine. Somebody sent me a link about, you know, mental health relative to Prince Harry and Prince William talking about their mom. So I'm going to tee that up and play that this morning. And so that'll be interesting to do. And and then the governor will join us. So sit back, relax, enjoy the morning. There's a bunch of stuff in the news. And so we'll get to all that this morning. Without any further ado, the United States Marine Corps Band says good morning. So good morning. Thank you.
my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Love minutes after 7 here on a Monday, May Day. Yeah. Big old Soviet parade day. Now we're doing that thing in North Korea. All over the communist world. That's right. We'll check the weather. Currently in Quantico, cloudy and 75. Camp Lejeune, mostly cloudy and 79. Granbury, Texas, cooled off a little bit. Partly cloudy and 57. North Dakota, all the way up to 44 with cloudy skies. 49 Palms, sunny and 61. Pendleton, sunny 51. By the way, that's not Camp Pendleton on the coast. I've got a couple emails about that. It's Camp Pendleton Inland at the air station. Yeah, on the other side of the mountain. So, Camp Smith, a little bit cooler, 69 degrees, cloudy and dark. Okinawa, clear, dark, 71. Fallujah, yeah, 97 degrees, under mostly sunny skies. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is 55 degrees under mostly cloudy skies, looking for a high today of all the way up to 79 degrees. So, going to be a beautiful day here out on the West Coast. Anyway, have a this hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the one and only Battle Mug itself. Starts as a 10-pound block of aluminum, and after it's milled, machined, and anodized, and a serial number stamped on it, along with Picatinny rails, ready for you to customize it. If you go to the field, scope, laser, camera, if it goes in your office, flag, emblems, things like that. But the thing I'll tell you about it is that it's a pretty unique gift. That's right. It's a pretty unique gift. So, with that said, perfect for commemorative event, retirement, farewell, promotion, mess night, or birthday anniversary, or my get-out-of-trouble card. Check out the full line of products at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. BattleMug is a veteran-owned and operated company made entirely in the United States and a proud sponsor of ours. So we will, we're going to take a quick break. More of Justin Constantine going to join us next as we get going here on a Monday. First day of May. Don't touch that dial.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website. Look at what events they have lined up. Attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
This is Montel Williams. As a U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran, I know the sacrifice that our servicemen and women make for us every single day. If you're a veteran or a military member transitioning out of the service, help is available to you. The U.S. Department of Labor can help you get training, find a good job, or further your education. Contact the Veterans Employment and Training Service at 866-487-2365 or visit dol.gov/vets.
Ready? You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You're crashing into me like waves on the coast. Every time we talk, you move in close. I don't want you to stop. I don't want you to stop tonight.
19 minutes after 7 o'clock here on a Monday, May 1st, May Day. And joining me from someplace on the planet, sometimes he knows, sometimes he knows, sometimes he doesn't, is Justin Constantine. Justin, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And I do know exactly where I am today. I'm in my home in New York City.
Well, you know what? That's good to know. We love that. It's always it's always better when you know where you're at. At least that's I've always been
that's
partial
right.
to it.
I mean, it does help. I mean, there's no downside in knowing where you are and, of course, where you're trying to go.
Exactly. You know what? That was very well said. It's spoken like a mentor.
Good life lesson, right?
All right, I like that. I like that. First of all, catch us up on the last week. Where were you last week? What were you doing?
Well, last week I spent about 3 days down in Washington D.C., Northern Virginia, really, just trying. I had a bunch of meetings for my business, and I do live up in New York, which is good for entrepreneurs. There's lots of opportunities up here. Lots of obviously, tons of business here, but sometimes it does help to go back down to Virginia where I have lots of friends and some good connections as well. So I spent some time down there right now, gearing up to go to expo for a few days up in Albany, New York, because up in New York they have a special program that a few other states have as well. And this may be interesting to your listeners who are disabled veteran business owners in New York, where 2 years ago they passed some legislation mandating that 6% of their state budget go to disabled veteran small businesses, which is about $300 million. So pretty sizable amount. Great to see New York doing that. They're implementing that now, but so there's an expo up in Albany where all the state agencies are located, and so we'll have an opportunity to talk with some state procurement officials about what it is we do in the IT, on the IT side, and hopefully make some great connections, which will lead to some government contracts up there.
Wow. Well, that sounds great. That sounds great. And where to this week?
I'm sorry?
And where to this week?
Yeah, this week. That's what I'm talking about. Tomorrow.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about last week.
Yeah, so last week was D.C. And then just and then back up here in New York. And then this week heading up to Albany to take care of that. Hopefully it'll work out well.
I've got a question for you that somebody sent last week. Let me find it.
Okay.
Here it is. Mac, the next time Justin is on, could you ask him this? I read all the time that companies have targets for veterans hiring. Yet, I don't really know that means anything. I'm curious his opinion. There certainly seems to be no regulatory inspection group that writes up businesses for saying such a thing and then hiring no veterans. Is it simply a way to make us feel good? What is Justin's take on that?
So I think his question is about all the companies that publicly declare their veteran hiring initiatives and whether or not that's regulated. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for instance, veterans read that everywhere. Like, yeah, we get veterans preference too, but I don't know too many veterans that would say, yeah, I think part of the reasons why I kind of got hired was, the really strong veteran company. I don't know too many guys that I've ever heard say that.
Well, it's a mixed bag, but certainly there are a number of companies that do say that and then do implement it. And I know this because I do work part-time at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation's Hiring Our Heroes, which is a large veteran hiring program. There's a couple others out there that are also doing great work. Maybe, I don't know if you have Brian Stan from Hire Heroes USA on your show. But
no, I have not.
Well, he's a decorated Marine officer, Silver Star recipient from Iraq. Actually, when I was shot in his area, we were deployed together. He's done a fantastic job, and so he's someone who your viewers could probably benefit from having him on there as well. He can talk about this as well, because they work close to a lot of corporations that committed to hiring veterans. So there are, especially if you're working through the Chamber of Commerce or Hire Heroes USA or there's several other organizations too. Those companies declare their commitments and they stick to them because they're part of a broader coalition. And so, for instance, Hilton just publicly declared, I think, their new goal to hire 20,000 more veterans to military spouses. They already met their goal. I think they already had one goal of 10 or 20,000 or some large number. They already met that. And so, and they're part of these coalitions. They're kind of, they don't regulate each other, but, there's some peer pressure there. And so, while I agree with what I think your listener was intimating, that there are companies out there that say that, and there's a perception sometimes it's for PR value,
right,
or something along those lines, like anything else, it's a mixed bag. There are plenty of companies, especially the ones that I'm familiar with through the Chamber of Commerce, that they make this promise and they stick to it. And there's also reports out there by CNAS and other groups, IVMF, the detail, which companies are doing well there and why they enjoy hiring veterans. A lot of times it starts with companies that have a veteran as a CEO or someone who's in the C-suite and he or she is personally committed to that mission.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, you know, I think you read that a lot, but I think if you are interested in finding companies, I think they're out there, but it's not everybody who hangs a shingle and says we're veteran friendly. You know, talk to HR people, talk to talk to people that work with veterans, and they will tell you that the companies that truly do. Because let me tell you, veterans are. Are a great group because of the amount of responsibility you get at such a young age, the different wickets you have to go through to get to be a veteran, and then probably the experiences they have along the way. So it's screened on top of performed at a young age. So I think it's a great group, and
you're exactly right. And in fact, literally today I'm writing a chapter of my new book on the business case for hiring veterans. And, you know, it starts at boot camp, which I think a lot of civilians think is just a weeding out period or just hazing ritual or something like that. But really, it's in the very first days, no matter what service you're in, you're learning leadership and personal accountability and management and discipline. And those are the building blocks for your career, whether it's 4 years or 30 years in the military. And then, of course, you grow on that, you go to the school, you're specifically training on things, and we have a number of skill sets that we bring to the table that our civilian counterparts just don't have. One challenge that employers face is that, where they find veterans. And I think there certainly is a civilian military divide. The Bush Institute has published work on this and surveys that show that a significant number of our veterans feel that civilians don't understand them, and a smaller number, although still significant, of civilians feel that, in fact, they can't relate to the experiences our veterans have gone through. And so that is a challenge in that where we are sometimes two ships passing in the dark and we're not able to actually communicate with each other. It's a responsibility for that falls on the veterans and those transitioning out of the military, but also on the private sector as well. But in our military community, we have a responsibility to not just rely on seeing if you want to hire us because we're veterans, but to learn the language of the civilian marketplace and then communicate our skills appropriately.
That's one thing that people talk about all the time is the language. And there's not a whole lot difference relative to work, whether you're doing it in the military. There's certain MOSs that are certainly, but by and large, the majority of the military is very much like the civilian world, with the exception of the unique language that the military speaks. And
right.
So to me, if you can massage that and be conscious, the leadership stuff, this is the thing I find most interesting. The leadership stuff that you possess, a lot of them haven't experienced that, my oldest daughter was taught, she's a manager of a retail store. She was talking to me about waiting with somebody during the Christmas season because they closed late. They closed like at 11 o'clock at night, and their ride wasn't there, right? So the parking lot's emptying, and she said, I just stayed and waited with them. She said, is that something? I said, no. I said, put the shoe on the other foot. How would you feel, right, if you were alone, and all of a sudden your manager just hangs out with you, and She said, we walked over and got in my car, and then we just drove back, and I just, shot the shit with them until their ride showed up, and the ride was like 20 minutes late. And I said, caring about people is ultimately how you win them as a leader. I said, and it was interesting, Angie Morgan came on, and her husband, Matt, went and And he produced The Unknown Flag Raiser of Iwo Jima for the Smithsonian Channel. And so Matt was, Matt introduces me to Angie. Angie said, "Mac, you know, we're humble about it, but the greatest leadership academy in the world is the United States Marine Corps. Nobody puts the emphasis, time, and effort, and lives on it like the Marine Corps does." She said, "I've seen the other services, and they all do good stuff. The Marine Corps does it in spades. You learn it in the Marine Corps, and you're around it in the Marine Corps. You see it in the Marine Corps." And she said, "So, you know, don't be afraid to go to that. It's important." So I thought that was interesting.
It is interesting, and it's something that companies care about very deeply, because they having training programs, effective training programs, costs a lot of money, and they're also time intensive and resource intensive. So when someone comes in after 4 years in the Marine Corps, for instance, where we all know there's two lance corporals walking across the freight deck, one of them can chart, that's something very, very early on, that where American tax dollars have already paid for these young men and women who have earned incredible leadership skills. That goes a long way to corporations, because that's something that you really can't put a price tag on. But I've seen it in the jobs I had before I started, you know, relaunch as an entrepreneur. But there's oftentimes a lot of apathy in the workforce. And as you were describing with your daughter, I've got a lot of times a manager would be like, "Okay, you're good to go. Your ride's going to be here a while. I'm going to roll." But typically in the Marine Corps, I mean, I guess there's some exceptions, that we would never do that. We would hang out or give them a ride somewhere. We would make sure they were taking care of that person, because that's was on day one. And that was a critical part of my recovery after being injured. So many people have taken care of me as well. And so it's something that I preach to employers, and they should do on a regular basis too. But unless you had that consistent training over years, which we all have, it really doesn't hit home. You can't learn that from going to one workshop or one training seminar. So on top of that, I think a lot of us don't recognize how important it is, or don't recognize that we're somewhat special for having it, because everyone around us is in the same boat.
Right.
So you're surrounded by Marines, you're like, "Oh yeah, of course this is what happens," but it's not what happens out there in the private sector. And so we have to be better at communicating and conveying that on a resume, which again, most of us who joined after high school or straight out of college, maybe we never wrote a resume before, but there's a lot of resources out there helping that. So we have to take advantage and understand that civilians communicate in a different way than we do, and we have to embrace that.
My guest, Justin Constantine, here on a Monday. We're talking entrepreneurship and veteran business and companies that are veteran friendly. Emailer writes this: "Does Justin know of a place that advertises for veteran friendly companies that are, no kidding, veteran friendly companies?"
Well, okay. I would start with yeah, Hiring Our Heroes, which is hiringourheroes.org.
Okay.
And you can sign on there as a job seeker or as an employer. And these are free resources. And one thing they just relaunched was their updated resume engine, and that's resumeengine.org. And so it's online. It's very easy to fill out. In fact, if you can type in your MOS and it will populate language that exemplifies what you did in that MOS. And then I think there's the 80,000 veterans who have uploaded resumes there, and then they have thousands, somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 employers who actively search through that, and they can filter to find the resumes that are right for them. And so, for instance, La Quinta is the hotel chain,
right,
has a strong emphasis on hiring military spouses. Well, they not only do they have a big part of the chamber to do that, they deliver on that, but they'll look specifically through resumes to find military staffs on that. So that's a good one too. And I mentioned Hire Heroes USA, and that's their URL, hireheroesusa.org. Brian Stan's organization, they have partnerships with a number number of companies, and also another Marine, Zach Iskel, Higher Purpose, I believe it's .com, H-I-R-E, higherpurpose.com, again, has relationships with a number of corporations that have vetted the Committee to Hire Veterans. So those are three good resources right there.
Wow. Okay. All right. Very, very good. We got to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit of current events with you, get your thoughts on some stuff. On the first day of May, you got any thoughts on May Day? Was there any kind of Constantine family May Day ritual that you guys
so,
had?
Fortunately, we have no emergency required May Day rituals, so we're celebrating that.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Justin Constantine, my guest here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good. The past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
On Veterans Day, the nation honors the men and women who risk their lives to protect our freedom. Social Security does its absolute best to honor veterans and active duty members of the military every day by giving them the respect they deserve. For those who return home with injuries, Social Security is a resource they can turn to. If you know any wounded veterans, please let them know about Social Security's Wounded Warriors website. The Wounded Warriors website answers many commonly asked questions and shares other useful information about disability benefits, including how veterans can receive expedited processing of disability claims. Learn more by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave service women. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit careeronestop.org.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. .42 on a Monday. Mike McNamara with you. I'm joined by Justin Constantine from somewhere in Manhattan today, I think, yes?
That's right.
All right. We love Manhattan. The Yankees are on a roll, in case you don't know. In case you need something to talk about with your Manhattanites, the Yanks are just killing it, okay? So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to throw that one out there.
I would brag about that, and I have gone to a couple of Yankees games and enjoyed them. But last week last Sunday I was Mets, the New York Mets veteran of the game, so I had to support the Mets.
Really, you were the veteran of the day?
The veteran of the game, yeah. So they, it's a program that I had. It was sponsored by First Data. Which had strong military commitment, and they, my wife and I had front row seats right by home plate, and they brought us in a little bit early and treated us super well, gave us a flag. I was on the jumbotron when they introduced it at the fourth inning, and it was really cool. So it was pretty, pretty neat.
Yeah, I know the Yankees do that.
Yep, they do.
And, in fact, last night was, or yesterday when they played, they honored a Vietnam veteran. So it's not just current. It's not, you know what, and I thought that was really cool, that even after, you know, everybody in Major League Baseball went from playing Take Me Out to the Ball Game to playing God Bless America or some other kind of patriotic song. Mm-hmm. And then most have gone back, or very many of them have gone back, but some have not.
I'm glad it was a Vietnam veteran.
Yeah, and I think it's so good for healing and it's so good for awareness. And I think in a very public way on a nightly basis, I think it's very cool. So did you get to do, what was the coolest thing? Did they, you got brought on the field and or not?
Yep, they brought us out there, or brought me out there, and presented the flag. You know, it was a folded flag, as in kids. And they have a quick little bio about me up on a jumbotron. And, you know, I have to say, like, just the way the staff treated us, from the woman who brought us in to the security to the guy who was in charge of that area for seating, everyone was very respectful. Of course, thank you for my service. And just we were treated quite well, and I really appreciate that. Nothing over the top, but people were just very respectful. And so... It was very nice of them.
I want to ask a personal question. Gunshot wound to the head, right? So why do you laugh?
It just sounds terrible,
doesn't it? That's my question. It's like so people meet you. And I don't know when it comes up, did the jaw just hit the floor? And they're like, oh, what the hell?
Usually the people who I talk to know that happened. And so I guess for a while, I don't really ever open with that or bring it up. Going back probably 5 or 6 years, I was at a reception in D.C., so when I worked on Capitol Hill, I was there with my wife. It was a reception for people from my university that was having, like, a program there in D.C., and I guess I was still kind of new and
to all this. And I was just talking to some guy, and I was like, yeah, well, I was over in Iraq, I got shot in the head, I came back, recovered, and just, like, quickly just glazed over it. And Nadia said, she looked at him, and he was, you know, like you said, his jaw drops, like, what are you talking about? And I was, of course, oblivious and just kept rolling. But, so it does sound, you know, crazy, because it really shouldn't have survived. I only survived because the amazing Navy corpsman and Colonel Bernstein and the rest of the Marines around me that day. And so, obviously I had struggles every day, but not like I did 10 years ago. And things are a lot easier than they used to be. And I've had dozens of surgeries, so it's obvious something happened to me, but no longer is it as obvious that I was shot in the head as it was for the first few years after that happened.
Right. I didn't intend to go down this road, but as long as we're going down it, what was the most difficult part of your recovery as you look back? And I know you're going to tell me, well, I'm still in the process, but as you look back, gunshot wound enters behind the left ear, exits the front of the face. What was the most difficult part of the intervening, what is it, 10 years almost? For 11.
Yeah, it's 10 years. 10 and a half. I would say just the real significant problems with my mouth. And that there's several things there. One was not being able to talk. Literally couldn't talk for months because I was so swollen. My head was so swollen around my throat and vocal cords. But then, you know, I lost most of my teeth. I had a few molars in the back. And then at some point I had lower dentures. I also lost the end of my tongue, so not being able to communicate is a tough thing, of course. And then I literally had to carry, I called it my drool rag. It was like a towel around my neck that went down the front, because without my teeth and the end of my tongue, I just drooled out of my mouth all the time. It was gross. And so I had this towel on there just to absorb all the spit that came out. And so, over time, that's changed, although I still have to have a big napkin or a bib or something like that when I eat, because it's still an issue. But not being able to talk, not being able to communicate, can't bite into any food, I still can't. And so those things, everything around my mouth was a huge challenge, continues to be somewhat of a challenge, not like before by any means. But it did affect every aspect of what was going on.
So what do you eat? What's your favorite food now?
My favorite food, the foods haven't changed. When I was first injured, I was on a feeding tube for months. They just stuck a tube that could stick right in my stomach and a funnel.
Our whole culture is built around food. You probably noticed that.
Yeah, I mean, I go to a lot of events and receptions and stuff like that, and I'm so jealous. Like, when they're walking around with these little plates of delicious appetizers and stuff, I rarely can just take something off there and eat it, because I know it's going to spill out the front of my mouth or I'm going to drool or something like that. So I have to watch all this delicious food just rolling in front of me, which, as a Marine, you know, it's hard to let that food go.
Are you kidding? Look around. I mean, the whole country's fat because everybody's eating that stuff, right? Honestly, I mean, and it's all good too. I mean, it's good food.
It's good. So that's tough to watch it go by. But you know, just about anything now, I can cut with a knife and fork and just push it back to my mouth and can eat it okay. But I don't want to make it sound like a bigger issue than it really is. There's a lot of other Marine warriors who are struggling very significantly with traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress and other physical issues, which are more challenging than what I'm describing. So this is.
Well, no, but I mean, what you described, though, is a pretty significant injury and a pretty substantial change in your life. In terms of, like you said, I can't eat. So wait a minute, you never answered the question. What's your favorite food that you can eat now?
I guess I guess when I travel, and a lot of times I go out to a state dinner with clients or with other folks, and I enjoy that. So I enjoy going out to a steakhouse, because the food is usually very good there. But at home, you know, one thing my wife makes, which I really enjoy, is nachos, but instead of tortilla chips, which are very painful for me to eat because we had to rebuild the whole mouth and so my palate's very sensitive.
Right.
She makes it with pita bread.
So
cut up pieces. Yeah, very soft. And so I've always loved Mexican food. And so we call them Egyptian nachos
because
it's pita bread.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's probably my favorite food is one of my wife makes Egyptian nachos.
Yeah. The Justin Constantine, we're talking about his life all of a sudden since the Mets honored him.
Right.
Now we're talking about him. Wow. No, it's, you know, again, everybody talks about, you know, other people have it, you know, harder than they are. In fact, I think that every guy that I've ever had on this program that's been wounded has said that. In every interview we've ever done. Hey, Mac, we both know, you know, I'm pretty fortunate in terms of the way things go, but, you know, just,
yeah.
So how does it, in terms of rebuilding a mouth, how do they do that when the damage is, you know, you had infrastructure damage to yours, right? You had,
Is
it just,
yeah.
And then it, is it slow proceeding? Because when they do something, you got to give that time to recover before they can do something else.
Well, yeah, that's part of it, is that it's not just the sheer volume of surgeries, but as you said, each one requires a lot of time in between to let things kind of gel together and grow and make sure there's a good fit and a good take. And, you know, I was fortunate in that I was originally at Bethesda as an inpatient. I had a great doctor there, Dr. Kumar, who was my plastic surgeon. And he told my family that if they waited, I came there from med school, and he told my family if they waited 12 more hours to perform the first surgery, my face would have collapsed because of the extensive damage to all the bones. And that first surgery was almost 19 hours long, and they took a bone, my fibula bone from my right leg, and used it to replace my lower jaw. So it was pretty incredible they could do that. Then later, they took a bone on my left leg to use in reconstructing my upper jaw. But so I was very fortunate that Dr. Kumar was there, but also he was leaving to do a fellowship at UCLA, and he said, you know, most people don't survive these types of injuries, so this is somewhat new for us, and we're not really qualified to do this. And I thought it took a lot of maturity for him as a doctor to say that. And he said, I'd like to put a referral into you at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, which sees traumatic injuries like this all the time there in Baltimore. And they have literally written a book on this. How do you feel about that? And I said, that sounds fantastic. I'd love to go there and get a consult. Went there, met with some incredible surgeons, and even that first day it was four men who were all surgeons, a very close-knit team who worked together at different phases of recovery. They could show me what the next 4 years would look like. And frankly, that was a much different experience than I had in the military hospital, where it was just kind of the next one that's coming up. In fact, the dental surgeon I was seeing at Bethesda, he hadn't shown up for a couple of appointments. We just did not have a relationship, and so he heard I was going to Johns Hopkins and left a message on my cell phone saying, I don't know why you're going there. I can do your next surgery for you, no problem. I also found out that he didn't let the eye surgeons, the ophthalmologists, those surgeons, in the room when he'd done other surgeries, which was very concerning to me because those things are only inches away from each other, and I want as many doctors in there as possible because I needed surgery on my eye and my teeth and my mouth and all of that. And so I was concerned that he had a huge ego and that he wasn't that qualified. And so I just felt like, if you don't understand why I would want to go to Johns Hopkins just to get a a talk with some of these world-renowned surgeons, and you just don't get it. And so I was very fortunate to get to Johns Hopkins. A couple other warriors I know saw the same doctors there. We've all had great recoveries. But that was outside the mainstream. That was not right. normal. And TRICARE fought it tooth and nail. They did not want to pay for those surgeries, and they made things very difficult for me in that regard as well.
Interesting. Yeah, I just that just seems to be a shame because, yeah. especially when, again, since you haven't named a name, I'll feel free to speak. that sounds shady to me, right? Anytime somebody doesn't want want oversight and input from other people, I'm uncomfortable with that.
I felt the same way. I thought, if you're really concerned about my health and welfare, and if you're confident in what you're doing, why wouldn't you want other doctors in there who may not be operating, but they're going to be operating on me next? And wouldn't it be helpful for me, the patient, if they saw what happened at the time instead of reading about it on a report later? And so when he wasn't comfortable with that, that sent me a loud message, because at Johns Hopkins, it was quite different where they were all in there. So they could all see it. And so every time I went there, it wasn't, you know, hey, Justin, please tell us what happened. Please tell us about your medical history. Tell us about your surgery. It's like, oh, hey, Justin, good to see you again. We're excited. Here's what we've got coming up next. And that's just a whole different environment. So this is not a slam on Bethesda in general or Wall Street. This is just identifying what happened with me. You know, and also my surgeon at Johns Hopkins, he told me he offered to come down to Bethesda for free just to consult, just to be in the operating room, just to try to help the other doctors. And they just kind of got the highs of it and was not involved in any of that. And it's a real shame because he went on to do the first face transplant. Now he's in charge of the plastics at NYU. I mean, he's a celebrated expert in the field. You know, a lot of other veterans or service members could certainly benefit from this vast experience.
My guest, Justin Constantine, we're talking about his recovery and what's difficult and what's not. No, whenever you see, and you know what? What's interesting is that those guys at Johns Hopkins and different hospitals around the country, I would say, they are enthusiastic about helping.
They are.
You know what I mean?
They recognize they have a skill set that they're in rarefied air. Like, not many people can do it and operate at that level. Same is true. I had some surgery at UCLA through a program called Operation Mend, which is a fantastic program to provide free surgery for burn victims and post-traumatic facial reconstruction or reconstruction of other body parts. They are experts in that.
Right.
And they're excited, and that's at no cost to the service members. And when General Amos was a commandant, he was very impressed with that program and told me I should go look into it, and I did. And so, as you said, they are excited to do that type of work because it's their way of giving back, and they can happen.
No, and there's all kinds of legal firms that do pro bono work as part of their, do you remember, I don't know if you know, have you ever heard the name John Dowd? He's an attorney in D.C.
I know the name.
Okay, well, so he's a friend of General Kelly's. So Kelly tells me, Mac, you need to get Dowd on the program.
Yeah. Sure.
Yes, sir. So Dowd comes on the program and so we're talking, and I say, John, have we ever met? And he says, well, no, I don't know. So he's telling a story, and he said, you know, I used to go to Bethesda with General Kelly all the time, and we became good friends with him. You know, we're both from Boston, and he's a funny guy, and I'm not as funny as him, and yada, yada, yada. And he said, but I have friends in Major League Baseball. And he said, so I called Johnny Bench. Now, I know Johnny Bench. Right. Johnny Bench sang at my father's second wedding. Oh my God. Yeah, he thought he could sing too. And anyway, so it dawns on me, the Dowd report, you're the guy that investigated Pete Rose. And he said, yeah.
Oh.
I said, wow. I said, you're that guy. He said,
yeah.
He said, I am. I said, how dirty is Pete Rose? He goes, oh, my God. He said, it's a joke. People refuse to believe it. I said, you know, my dad, when my dad was, he managed the Reds after Sparky Anderson got fired. And he, Pete Rose had played out his option, you know, and Pete Rose was the Reds, right? I mean, he was a, you know, leadoff hitter and sliding head first and all that nonsense for the big red machine. I said, is Pete Rose going to resign? And he said, probably not. I remember going, oh, no. He said, Mike, Pete Rose is not a good human being. I said, what do you mean?
Ooh.
He said he's kind of like a bad guy. He said, in fact, rumor is that he owes hundreds of thousands of dollars to the people that own betting. And he looks at me, you may or may not know who those people are. And
they're not good people.
Right. I said, what does he like to bet on? He said, everything. Everything.
Oh.
And he said, so Pittsburgh, the owners of the Pirates, they own thoroughbreds, so they're offering him horses and interest in horses. So the Reds can't compete with that. So he's probably going elsewhere. And that was probably 1980, 79, 80, when he told me that. And I went, Pete Rose? What do you mean he's not a good guy?
Yeah.
And so,
hero.
Yeah, my hero. But Dowd talks about the fact that the lawyers, well, let me tell you why Pete Rose was a hero. Pete Rose sold himself as kind of an average athlete who worked really hard to get really good.
Yeah.
My dad looked at me once, and I remember asking him, I said, Dad, do you think Pete Rose is right, or do you think Ted Williams is right? Ted Williams says good hitters are born, not made. Pete Rose says good hitters are made, not born. And he looked at me and he said, Mike, Pete Rose is the biggest con artist on the planet.
Oh.
I said, what do you mean? He said, good hitters are born. He said, some guys can just hit. And he said, now, everybody could probably get better. But Pete Rose tries to sell himself as a average guy. There's nothing average about him. He's an intense guy. He's a physically talented guy. He can hit. And he tries to sell himself as the little engine that could. And it ain't that way.
Yeah, Johnny Hustle.
Yeah, and I went, oh. Because it was important to me that Pete Rose was right. Because that would mean, like, an average athlete like me, maybe I could do it. I was like, oh, okay. But anyway, back to John Dowd. Dowd told me that the reason this pro bono work was so popular among the lawyers was because they hadn't served, and this was their way of giving back to the nation, serving, you know, veterans in legal action that they would normally not be able to afford representation. And he said it's become some of the most popular work that's done in firms by attorneys helping out veterans. So it's very cool. In fact, I have on the website, there's firms in 50 states and law schools in 50 states that will represent veterans free, do pro bono work if you need it.
Yeah, I know there's a number of law schools that have veterans clinics to help veterans in the community, which is fantastic. I mean, it's great for the students because they're not lawyers yet, but they're learning and they're able to help under the guidance of a lawyer or someone who's running the program. But more importantly, it's great for the veterans in the community to come in because, as you said, they just can't afford to for this stuff. And the American Bar Association has orchestrated some sort of a network. I'm not sure how encompassing it is, but if there's one in something in every state, that's good to hear. I have talked to different lawyers at senior levels of law firms, and they are excited about it because they had to do pro bono work anyway. And so they all have pet projects, but most of them want to get behind veterans because they know that our veterans face a host of challenges out there in the community. A lot of times they want to be part of that solution.
The Justin Constantine, my guest. Are you in a hurry? Do you need to go? Can you hang around for a few more minutes?
I can hang out for a little bit more, but then I have to get back to writing this.
Okay. Can you how about 10 more minutes?
Okay. Let's do it.
10 more minutes. Let's see. in the news, anything exciting you these days that you want to talk about before I give you some stuff?
Interesting to see how the budget, proposed budget's playing out. And I think, Trump is running into the realities of being the president and, on the campaign trail, saying, oh, this is going to be easy, health care is easy, XYZ is easy, trade is easy, but, doing well is easy, but all these things are very complicated. And there's so many factors considered that it looks like, this isn't that much different, this budget, than what's been proposed in previous years. One thing I'm a little bit surprised at is, maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but with Attorney General Sessions' real deep dive into, marijuana usage, which to me seems a little odd. Like, it didn't seem to be a high priority for a lot of other folks.
What are you talking about?
Well, Jeff Sessions has brought up the topic of marijuana use and getting down to the state level, and obviously doesn't agree with it being legal in a number of states and in the district, and talk about some pretty significant sentencing for those using marijuana, or I guess probably trafficking marijuana as well. And it just seems like, again, always the battle is dealing with limited resources of the government. There's so many worse things when it comes to drugs than marijuana use, I think.
Yeah, I don't, it wouldn't be at the top of my list. I think, really, if you look at the future of the country and the trends in the country, it seems that, really, the question...
We don't care. They're like, it's the same as alcohol.
Right.
Although the synthetic marijuana, I was talking to a friend of mine from the DEA the other day, and the synthetic marijuana, which is not natural, it's all chemical and can easily kill you. A lot of people are using it apparently, and it sounds quite troublesome.
Right. And then the question is, when you apprehend somebody, you, I guess, have to take them in to have their blood tested because there is no other test relative to are you intoxicated or not. So there's
no breathalyzer. But the report just came out and said actually for the first time that I think it was with fatalities and car accidents that more people were under the influence of marijuana and other drugs than alcohol. But I don't think it's not just marijuana. It's marijuana and alcohol or marijuana and other drugs. So that is significant. I mean, driving under the influence of any drug is significant. But you're right. Short of taking their blood, there is no breathalyzer. So that is quite a challenge, and it's hard to, no one's like a human detector. So that does, right. It does bring up a significant challenge for law enforcement.
Well, and then the question is, if somebody is high, and you're measuring THC, can you carbon date THC in terms of when it was in the system? Because it's one of those drugs that stays in your system forever. You know, you see Marines that get busted for pot.
Yeah.
It's like they wanted to get busted for pot because young people are savvy enough to know what gets in and out of your system, and that becomes a topic of conversation in bars around the world about what drugs are safe to use. It's a sad reality of it. I had Marines that were doing animal pharmaceuticals because of the way they got out of your system. They're for horses.
Right. Yeah. Ketamine, go for it.
How about a shot of Jack? Like, why are we taking right? How about we like go old school and get drunk? Right. Why are we taking animal drugs? God only knows. So the budget. Either we're getting used to it or he's cooled out his Twitter a little bit. Do you make anything of that? Do you think this job is, as being the president, especially the last month relative to North Korea and Syria, has sobered him up into the realities of the job? Or do you think that's impossible?
I mean, part of me thinks it's impossible. I mean, because he's in his 70s. I mean, who's going to change completely at that point in life, no matter who they are? But I think he came into office with a kind of an extreme agenda, and I guess he seemed to, you know, right off the bat, facing some losses with the health care bill and with deportation or the immigration bans getting shut down by the federal courts, that it's not the same as running a business. And I know he wants to have more power. He's getting that clear. He's commenting on how the laws of Congress are antiquated and hold things up, but that's how they're designed. And if you believe that the original intent of the founding fathers, then you can't really argue with a lot of that. But
yeah, that's a tough argument.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure everyone who's been president has wished that it wasn't like that, but that's kind of on purpose. And so, just reading some of the details this morning about the budget, and in fact, a lot of things that Democrats wanted are still in there, and some of the Republicans who think differently than President Trump does got stuff in there. So, I thought the EPA was going to get, slashed majorly, but really it wasn't much at all. Planned Parenthood wasn't defunded. He didn't get as much in the military.
Are you talking about his proposed budget or what Congress just passed?
No, what Congress is, happening with Congress.
Right.
Yeah. So,
right. And the question then becomes, will he sign it?
Right. But I think he will.
All right. Well, see. We'll see.
Okay.
Give me one issue you're keeping your eye on, and then I'll let you go.
One issue I'm not really keeping an eye on, but continue to be bothered by is the role of his family, in government and in the private sector as well. And I guess there's investigations being done, and this is all brand new because he's got adult children who are running successful businesses but still representing him, and the question of, is there a trust? Is there a blind trust? Does he have a say in things? Or, the question of if one of his hotels is attacked in a foreign country, is that going to influence decisions he makes or his kids make? And so the one concern that has not gone away is the business relationships that he and his family hold around the world in relation to decisions he makes.
All right. Do you consider yourself obsessed with Donald Trump?
Do I consider myself what?
Obsessed with Donald Trump.
Obsessed? No. In fact, I don't watch. Because what can I do about it? I mean, he is incredible.
Well, you wrote you wrote him a letter a year ago, and that made national news. What do you mean? What can you do about it? You pulled his punk card.
Well, didn't matter. I mean, I think that it is incredible how every article, most major articles or every hour, there's something about Trump this, Trump that. And I wonder if it was like that with Bush and Clinton and Obama. I don't think so, but maybe.
Yeah, Obama. I mean, come on, he couldn't go to the bathroom without them talking about him. You know, the Messiah.
Maybe I just forgot. The
Messiah.
Well,
no, I don't mean that.
I mean that.
All right. Well, first of all, it's good catching up with you. And again, Justin, thanks for in our tribe, we're not put off too much about discussion injuries and stuff
right.
like that. But I appreciate your candor and allowing us to talk about that. Appreciate that.
Of course.
All right. How do people interested in finding you? How do they find you?
Oh, well, thank you. My website is justinconstantine.com, and effectively by the end of the day today, I'll have a completely revamped website. So I'm looking forward to that. Well, of course, on LinkedIn as well is always a good place to connect with me.
All right. And it's, if you're looking for a speaker who can talk about overcoming adversity, who can talk about living with change in a dynamic world, who can talk about veteran entrepreneurship, you're listening to that guy. Okay. So if you want a guy who's not only done, you know, who's lived that, not going to just get up and talk about it, but hit Justin up on LinkedIn, I think is the best way. So Justin, have a great week. Yeah. Thanks for this.
Thank you, Matt. You
yep,
too.
Not a problem. Justin Constantine here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. When we come back, somebody who sent me an email going to join the program. And so I'm anxious. His name's Michael Heffernan is going to join us. And so Michael's a former Marine officer. He went on to be a an editor. And so we're going to learn about him and get his thoughts on All Marine Radio. So more of that coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the one and only Big Bad Battle Mug. Starts as 10-pound block of T6 aluminum. Milled, machined, anodized, serial number, Picatinny rails, boom, all put on. What you're left with is a field device for operators. Slap a lid on it, a scope, a camera, a light, all of it works. There's three rails on it. I looked at mine the other day. Yeah, I did. And but if you want to take it in your office, like I have mine here, you can throw emblems and flags on it. Looks pretty cool. Looks pretty cool. Check out the full line of products at battlemug.com. And you can do that by go ahead and, let me just tell you, there's a mug version of the Battle Mug. Okay. When you think mug, the Battle Mug, think Stein. I mean, that kind of larger version. Then there's a coffee cup version of it. And then there's a highball event, and there's some other stuff you should check out too. So check it all out at Battle Mug. They're great for to tell somebody, hey, I put a little effort into this gift, whether you're doing it for a retirement, a mess night gift, or simply a birthday or an anniversary. It all works. Battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Coming up next, John. I'm sorry, did I say John? There's another guy I know named John. John Heffernan. So Mike Heffernan going to join us, former Marine officer, former editor, more of All Marine Radio. Coming up next on a Monday edition, May 1st edition, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.